Okay, let's go to the next and the last verse. All things whatsoever are devoid of unchanging selfhood. When one sees this within sight, one becomes weary of suffering. This is the way to purity. So all things whatsoever are devoid of unchanging selfhood. The term unchanging selfhood is the translation of the Pali anatta, literally not self. So all things whatsoever are without selfhood. All things, the Pali is sabbe dhamma. Sabbe dhamma. So we've got that word dhamma again. And dhamma here means things, phenomena. It's not dhamma in the sense of teaching. So this means that not only in samsara, conditioned existence, but also in nirvana, there is no self, there is no substance. They're both without any essence, any core, any self or soul. And again, it's one of these terms which can lead to a great deal of misunderstanding, this term anatta or not self. People can think that Buddhist practice means blanking yourself out, progressive alienation, disappearing into a blank void, nihilism, that you're not there. And the aim is to be progressively not there. I don't know what that would do. It's really turn into some sort of zombie or something. A real space cadet. But it's not that. The teaching of not self is really just an extension of the teaching of impermanence. It's not that people and things change, as if there is something that a person and a thing that undergoes change. When you look deeply, you actually won't find any core to the change. You won't find any essence to anything. There's just a flow of causes and conditions giving rise to further causes and conditions. There's nowhere a self, nowhere a soul, nowhere an essence. There's just sort of dynamic relationships going on. Here we arrive at the central Buddhist teaching of pratitya samuppada, conditioned co-production or dependent arising. In later Buddhism, this is called emptiness. And that's just pointing to the fact that everything is empty of self or substance. There is just dependent arising, just a flow of causes and conditions. It's not that there's nothing there. Obviously, we are here in this room, vividly, I hope, present to one another. But if we were to look and analyse, we wouldn't find anything fixed and unchanging. There'd be nothing final. And nothing that we could finally define in this room amongst us. If somebody were to come in and handed us pieces of paper and drawing equipment, and we were asked to look at what was there, you know, really look, you know, not just draw what we think is there, but to really look, we'd probably have great trouble in actually putting down on paper what was actually there before us. Once again, the verse says, when one sees this with insight, one becomes weary of suffering. So how to see this not-self with insight? Well, there are many reflections and meditations to see not-self. They all usually involve analysis, looking for the five skandhas, looking at pratitya-samuppada, looking at the different elements that make up your experience, mind-blowing dialectics on the nature of emptiness, which, you know, give you kind of, you know, permanent brain lock. So it can all get quite heady, which some people love, people can love the head banging. But no, it's more than head banging. Sometimes you can have some really, you know, if you're emotionally involved in the discussion, you can reach a point where language ends and it starts to become very interesting.